Listen up, world, to what I got to say. America's number one, and we're here to stay. Top of the pile, a goddamn humdinger. Blue ribbon, gold cup, giant foam finger. Number one. Hell yeah, we're number one. Better than Greece, London, Italy, or France. All them other countries are like pooping our pants. Blow it down. America, America, God made you gracefully.
And hello and welcome. Thanks for listening. Those are the soothing sounds of C.S. Lewis Jr. Go ahead and thank Purple Heart Matt for that rousing rendition of America's Freedom this morning.
You're welcome.
He claims he got it off the Free Beer and Hot Wings Facebook page. I think he's just YouTubing weird songs.
Both are good.
He's YouTubing like America songs, and somehow this thing comes up. We watched about 1 minute of this video and realized how just weird it actually is. And then all of a sudden in the middle, there's a song apparently.
Yeah, it's really funny if you watch it.
It's a pretty good video. Again, thanks for listening. This is I am Kyle alongside Matt and Ryan here in the same hot booth we've been doing this in for a couple of weeks now. Welcome,
so
gentlemen.
Hot.
Hello.
How's it going?
Good. I would like to point out immediately how Purple Heart Matt here makes it about 15 minutes before scheduled showtime, yet Ryan, who lives within 25 minutes, is 20 minutes late. Thanks, Ryan.
The 1 week I'm late.
Yeah, it is usually me.
Yeah.
The last few weeks I've been blaming it on Art Hassel, though.
Which, it's never me because I leave at 3 a.m.
Yeah.
I have to fly here practically.
He has to leave and then make sure he can save a child on the way here.
Yeah.
I better leave early, honey. You know, I never know there's going to be a child in peril.
The world needs me.
Or an air show accident.
Yeah. He's a superhero without a costume is what Matt is. Yeah. He's our own personal superhero. We got a lot on tap today, and by a lot I mean two things. We talked about it last week. Matt and I have talked about this for previous weeks, about how we wanted to discuss our failed dreams. I wrote on our Facebook page last night about how I kind of take that as a challenge to make it funny.
Oh, it will be.
I think it will be, but it's still, you know, what other podcast or even a radio show is going to say, hey, coming up, we're going to talk about our failed dreams and laugh at it.
We're going to be laughing and crying simultaneously.
Yeah, yeah.
It's going to be gonna fantastic. Be,
yeah. I don't know if you're going to be able to get my weeping outside of the laughing, but we're going to give it our best.
Yeah.
Well, if you had your fancy cup here, you could put them into that and drink them.
Oh, I miss it. I feel parched right now. I don't have my flower vase. I don't know what to do with myself right now. One thing I did want to get into before we got, Matt has a couple of stories, one about his father-in-law trying to kill him.
It was a close one.
I'm intrigued.
We'll get to that.
You should be.
We'll get to that. And another driving story. I'm sure he saved a life or called the police or was a busybody in some manner.
That would have been better.
Stabbed a thief.
Yeah, no kidding. Stopped a bank robber and then hogtied him himself.
Yeah.
But what I wanted to get into first here is I've been known on Freeburn Hot Wings, I have been labeled as a Facebook sniper, an internet sarcastic master, and that's simply because of my physical insecurities of fighting in real life.
Obviously.
I would get...
It's very apparent.
I would get ripped to pieces in a real fist fight. I mean, there's no chance. It'd be one punch and I'd be done. I'm not about that.
How can you say that? You look tough with your hat turned backwards.
Hat's backwards, you know. I got just nothing but my white t-shirt on.
Plain white t-shirt on, saying I don't want to ruin good clothing, but I still want to kick ass.
He's got a chain.
I do.
Yeah.
I got my gangster.
What the hell are you talking about? You're a real ass kicker. Look at you.
People are looking the other way from me.
I'm trembling.
Yeah. Matt almost walked out. He saw me. I had to let him into the building this morning. And Matt almost, you know, locked his car doors and fled out of the parking lot.
I thought I was going to get robbed or something.
When he saw me.
Who is this?
Who's this hoodlum?
Who's this tough ramble abouter coming up to me in this manner?
I sure don't want any rough necking this morning.
Dumb homeless beggar.
But anyway, I am by no means a strong man or a tough guy in any sense of the word. But what I do love doing is mocking people on the Facebook page.
That is a great time.
It's one of my favorite pastimes.
It's good until you get yelled at.
Well, until you get angry emails at 4 in the morning. Those are not pleasant.
Wah, wah.
Awkward.
The times are changing. So But what happened here this past week was just a little something popped up on my news feed, and I thought it was worth mentioning. I thought it was pretty funny. Producer Steve's girlfriend, who obviously lives in New Jersey, had written on Producer Steve's wall.
Saying,
I'm going to see you
damn it
in 10 days.
And she
And she said, I have a countdown started. And I was like, oh, that's cool. And then it's on my newsfeed. I don't have to click to find this thing, this gem, this hidden treasure.
That thud you just heard was Ryan's face hitting the desk. You're going to find out why he bashed his face in a second.
So the comments are right in the front. I think there was one other comment in front. And then the second comment was from Ryan.
Yeah, it was.
What'd you say, Ryan?
Ryan, you want to recap, if possible?
We don't want to mix your words, yeah, so you give us the real story.
Mm-hmm. I'm so embarrassed, I'm sweating.
Just say what you have to say.
I don't remember the specific words, but I did involve the words countdown clock, and you should have one.
The specific words were, is there a countdown clock, though?
Oh, he remembers.
Yeah, it... So for
I knew somebody was going to say it. As soon as I saw the word countdown, I knew countdown clock was going
to
be next.
For anybody who isn't a regular listener to the show, or just maybe to Freebird Hot Wings, or maybe missed the bit regarding producer Joe's mystery stunt, Hot Wings decided it would be a fantastic idea to make a countdown clock of days and hours.
So they knew when it was going to be.
Yeah, of course.
So calendar and clock isn't convenient.
Because Friday at 7:30 isn't enough. It needed to be.
I don't know when that's going to be, guys.
It needed to be down to the hours and the minutes. Oh, here we go.
Oh, Jesus.
I have the exact wording for all of us to enjoy. But is there a countdown clock, Ryan said.
Meredith said, leave me alone.
Yeah, essentially.
Pretty much. Might as well have said that.
Meredith, clearly not an every hour of everyday listener like, some of our listeners and some of us may be.
Us losers.
Yeah.
I'm giving up on that.
Nope. I don't know how to do that, she says. At this point, I can tell Ryan's made just a clerical error. Shouldn't have said something.
I will say, I didn't go and say how to make one. I could have done that. That would have been real dumb.
Oh, boy, I would have had to
I'm surprised a link wasn't followed after she said that.
Oh, here's a quick HTML lesson. You can insert it in your profile.
Yeah, then you would have heard the gun go off into my brains.
So anyway.
Do it anyway.
I decide, Ryan needs to be put in his place. I decide Ryan needs to be put in his place on this one. So hey, Ryan. More random show references in the conversation between Meredith and her boyfriend. And I thought maybe that's probably the end of it. It's what I like to call a Facebook sniper bullet. And I talked about this after a football game yesterday. I decided I was going to do some trash talking. And I had to decide whether I wanted the novel to insult somebody, the simple ha-ha laughing in their face, or what I call the sniper bullet. One shot, one kill. I mean, it's you can't get up from
that. Is the
shot.
Preferred method.
I love it, and if I have the talent to do it on a given day, that's the method I prefer.
The feelings after I see this comment.
I think
uncontrollable rage.
I think this is over. I think Ryan's going to laugh it off.
Oh, it's funny now because it was dumb. I realized this because this it went uncontrollable rage. Like I almost broke stuff at work. I was so GD pissed.
Were you upset?
And then I was like,
"You were upset because you realized how stupid your comment was, right?"
No,
that was after. This was because he was being
right away.
Hold on, a jerk, a hole. And then afterwards, I was like, "Well, I guess it was kind of a dumb thing to say. I wasn't going to delete it because then it would make no sense for her comments." But
let's be clear here. You've known me for some time now. You've seen me on the Free Beer and Hot Wings Facebook page.
Yeah, but I didn't see it coming.
Well, that's the thing. You never see it coming.
Snipers don't stand up and wave before they shoot you.
Yeah, so why? I mean, I don't know why this felt so out of the ordinary.
He's stalking in the weeds.
Now, we're getting a little bit sidetracked here.
That's okay.
A little off topic.
Within 25 seconds, my Facebook's open. I get, a chat message from Ryan. F you. Without the abbreviation, of course. And I'm like... Oh.
Ha, 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 ha.
Someone found my comment.
I respond, ha, ha, ha. The response is, no, I'm pissed. F you.
Oh, you were actually mad.
I told you. It was uncontrollable rage. I almost broke computers at work.
And I respond, dude, seriously? Like, I'm pretty shocked. I mean, I've said much more damaging things to people. I mean, I've told a few listeners that Matt knows because him and I were involved in the arguments on the Facebook page to essentially go die and do the world a favor.
After that happened, those three sentences, the fuse was burned out and I kind of was done.
Well, and I stopped responding because I was like, I'm not going to fuel this fire. I am not. I'm not stupid enough
been.
To.
Oh
well,
my goodness.
I didn't want it. I was like, come on. I'm not going to defend myself. He knows what the nature of my Facebook posts are. He knows my Facebook posting history. I'm not going to defend myself. I don't feel I have to.
No, because at that point, I was just mad at myself.
Yeah, and then, so he went on about three more messages. Yeah, sorry, just having a bad day, this and that. And I didn't even respond to that. I wasn't going to give it the time of day. I was too uncomfortable by being lashed out at for something that I do on essentially a daily basis.
Had there not been students in the classroom, there would have been a lot of curse words coming out of my mouth.
Oh my God, that's awesome.
Yeah, I was pretty taken aback by it. Yeah, I forgot. I wanted to talk about that, and then I forgot it. Thank God I remembered it in time by looking at
God.
His face. I can see him in that classroom. Pounding the table. I'm so angry.
Yeah, my coworker was.
I tried to be funny, and people made fun of me. That's not how it's supposed to work. Roar, rage, roar.
It's just, people have a history of doing this.
It's like a minute of rage.
Being friends with producer Joe and Steve on Facebook. This is before Joe, they both did a mass purging of just listeners. But anytime Joe would post a status, a picture, anything it would be, Joe especially, would get, I would take bets with myself, essentially, about how long until a stupid show reference is made. It'd be like, oh, going camping for the weekend. Yeah, you gonna go save Lindsay Lohan?
Or there'd be like 30 people who would just put in drops, like type out the drop. It's, that's hot. Or
how is
cool story, horrible B.
Yeah. Like, I understand you want to, you feel, you know.
That, I wasn't thinking when I did it. Well, I really wasn't.
I mean, I understand the nature of the show is, you know, it's all conversational, just one of the guys, part of the gang. But at one point, do you have to realize, I mean, you're an extended part of the show, about as much as we are an extended part of the show.
Right.
And you look like a douche when you type things like that on, you know, on a producer's Facebook status.
That's how I felt.
And I think it finally got to him, which is why he did the mass purge.
Well, yeah, it'd be pretty annoying to not be able to open Facebook without everybody but who you actually care about seeing there, you know?
Yeah, no kidding.
That would drive me nuts. So thank God nobody likes me.
Yeah, no kidding, right? We're in the same boat.
Yeah.
The only people who like me are the ones who are willing to make fun of me. And I enjoy it after the fact.
Yeah, you just need to take that as a sign of love and endearing. That's what it is. But before we get to, our big segments today are our humorous discussions of all our failed dreams and missed childhoods and how things have gone awry since we were kids.
Yeah. It'll be such a downer.
And then we each wrote mock dating website profiles for each other. But right now, Matt was telling me when we sat down while we were waiting for Ryan to get here because he was almost a half hour late.
Because I fail.
Matt was telling me he had a couple stories that he wanted to talk about. One that I am personally intrigued by, about how his father-in-law tried to kill him. I'm assuming it's not him running around a home with like a butcher's knife. But I guess
that's exactly what it is.
There's a knife cleaver. This is awesome.
Yes.
No, that would be interesting.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't want to make fun of that because I'd be a little bit nervous.
I think the court would keep me from speaking on that subject.
This podcast would now be in evidence.
Right.
He's not dead, so it's now funny.
Good point. Yeah. Time plus tragedy equals funny.
So, my in-laws are redoing their kitchen, and I went over yesterday to help do the demolition process, which that's a lot of fun, taking hammers and smashing stuff that's not supposed to be smashed. Good time.
Yeah, be a part of the demo, and then when they're actually doing the renovations, just say you're busy. Nobody wants to do that.
So we get all the walls and everything down that need to come down. Now it's time to do the electrical.
Mm-hmm.
And all the wiring and stuff some of it needs to be cut, rerouted, so there's still power, but so the kitchen can be worked on.
Mm-hmm.
First thing I said, everything's off, right? Yep, turned it all off this morning, checked it all, everything's good. All right, cool. So, and people are working with wires. Everything's going fine. I get to the stove outlet. Most of the house is wired on 110. The stove is 220. So that's a lot of electricity.
Just a bit.
So much so that I'm not positive if it's the volts or the amperes for the 220, but I know it's something along the same lines of what your heart and your natural body current is. I start taking out the electrical box for the stove. I'm doing it for 10, 15 minutes because the damn thing won't come apart. And it looks like somebody welded this thing together. Finally get it all done. The wire's exposed. Everything's fine. And I'm cleaning up. And I grab the damn thing. And it lights my ass up.
Oh,
good God.
Oh, no. How'd it feel? I've always wondered, you know, it's not a wondering that I ever actually want to find out. But, you know, everybody's had, you know, where they walk by and they get shocked or whatever. And I just anticipate that times a million.
Yeah. I used to do construction. So I've been shocked by, like, extension cords and stuff that were kind of cut and it was raining and whatever.
Real safe.
And, yeah. It was great business. But it wasn't bad because it was only 110.
Mm-hmm.
220 hurts like a mother. My right arm is still sore from it.
Is it serious?
I looked it up on the internet, and if I closed my hand around it, it would have killed me.
Oh,
but
wow.
I just kind of touched it.
Was it like a whole body type of shock, or was it just like a...
It went up my arm and into my back, so and then I was gone from it.
Hit the nervous system.
Yeah. You didn't like black out or pass out or anything?
No,
like
it was just enough to make me swear a lot, and my son, who's 2 years old, to look at me and go, okay, daddy.
He got some new stories, didn't he? You learned some new language yesterday.
Did he use some new words this weekend?
Yeah.
The best part... Because I was having such a hard time getting the box apart, I said, hey, are you going to save this and reuse it? And he said, no, because we're getting new appliances and stuff. So, you know, we're going to rewire everything and it's probably going to be different. So you don't need to save it. And I said, oh, I'll just cut it then with a pair of metal wire cutters, tin snips.
Yeah.
That would have killed me too.
Oh, God.
If you've ever cut an electrical line by accident, it sounds like a shotgun going off. It's
just this
sudden surge of electricity going to places
so
it's not supposed to.
You almost died yesterday.
It was close.
And what would have happened is today, Ryan and I would have come in. You wouldn't have showed up. And I'd be
like, you would have been bad-mouthing
me. That a-hole slept through it. And then we would have. I said, we're recording anyway. And then it would have been about 55 minutes of us insulting you for not being here.
Probably.
Dick can't even make it from 3 hours away. What the hell?
In a timely fashion.
Yeah.
Sure, I'll get a text later. Apology not accepted.
I overslept, guys. I'm so sorry.
And then I'll read your pending services in the paper the next day.
I'm still trying to decide if he did it on purpose or not. I don't think he did, because that would have been a mean prank.
Talk about a devious plan that would be. Yeah, Matt.
And it's the perfect
one, too.
It's
all disconnected.
Because it would just be an accident. I didn't know the 220 one amp is on. Oh, God.
Yeah. Your wife would have, you know, still loved her dad who murdered her husband.
Oh, no. She was like, that would have been cool. We would have gotten your life insurance from the army that carried over.
So she's ready to get rid of you, too.
Yeah. I'm worth way more dead than alive.
It's a conspiracy, man.
I think so.
Ryan and I need to work our way into getting a co-beneficiary at minimum.
You guys are going to be fighting to get at my wife.
And then one of those times he stops to save somebody on the drive over, he'll magically need saving or something along those lines. So that's pretty good. You also mentioned you had another driving story. I'm assuming because you weren't laughing or being when you just briefly mentioned it to me that you didn't save another life or go off and be a do-gooder.
So I told you guys about how my car, it has the Purple Heart license plate. It says combat wounded. Drive like a jerk, always doing 85 probably. If I do get pulled over, the cop's always like, oh, sorry, don't speed, slow down for me. Never get a ticket. On the way home last time, I got pulled over doing 85 and got a ticket.
You did get a ticket?
Oh, take that, karma's a bitch.
I need to pull that audio now so I can relive the glory.
I know.
About, sure, cops, they don't mess with me. They see those Purple Heart tags, and they go, you go on, son.
I talked him into it. I had to get a ticket on the way home last time.
Yeah.
He only wrote me up for 5 over, so no points. Like, he told me he was cutting me a break because of my plates.
Mm.
He was like, I'll give you a break, but we need the money here. It was a small township.
He may have said that because of your plates. They do that all the time. I've gotten 2 speeding tickets now, and they always write me up for only 5 over, and they're... Well, only right yet, because they don't want you to challenge it, you know. And what I found out is challenge it anyway, and the tickets get thrown out because the cops don't want to show up to court.
I already paid it.
Did you?
Yeah.
Cops do not show up to court to battle speed. In my experience, cops do not show up to court to battle speeding tickets.
Huh. I've yet to experience that pleasure. I've gotten different tickets.
Pretty joyous.
Yeah.
Pretty joyous getting to speeding. It's such a – because it's this long period of you sitting in your car by yourself wallowing in anger. Wow, because you know they flash their spotlight at your mirror so you can't see them.
You're blinded.
They sit in their car for like 10 minutes. They finally get out. You know, sometimes the officer's nice and they'll say, "Hey, why are we doing this and that." Other times, license registration. They'll go back to their car for 15 minutes, presumably looking up videos on YouTube that are going to make them laugh.
This guy really screwed with me too because I passed him and immediately his lights and everything came on. I went, damn it, this is going to slow me down. This is an inconvenience. Well, I didn't think I was going to get a ticket.
Yeah.
He gets behind me because I slowed down and got over in the right lane because I knew he was coming for me. Mm-hmm. And he gets behind me, gets right up behind me, and then starts to go around me. And I was like, oh, sweet, he saw my plates. He's not even going to pull me over. Then he got back behind me and pulled me over.
Oh, nice.
You dick.
Yeah. That false hope. Yeah. That maybe avoided another bullet.
That's right. Keep it moving.
Maybe he was a rookie and he just wanted to have some fun before he gets sick of the job. Yeah.
That's right, copper. You keep on moving. I served your country.
Yeah.
So
I am going to do a tiny bit of ad-libbing here because I want to make sure that we do get to the dating site profiles, and we can bump Veiled Dream discussion till next week if we feel so inclined.
Pretty typical.
So I say let's do the dating website, mock dating website profiles right now. Now this idea, I don't know where it arose from directly, but I know we were in discussion of doing something along these lines. On this previous podcast that I did with Andy Two Times and Lurch, we did thank you letters. And obviously in a sarcastic manner, thanking the guys for our opportunity as an internship. And when I was on the show, I did a commencement speech with another former intern, Wiener One, in the same vein as well. So these are known to be pretty funny if done correctly.
Yeah.
And you know, they're good for a laugh as long as we can laugh at ourselves. If not, it's going to get awkward. I'm pointing at Ryan.
Yeah.
Because he's the one who's going to be. Matt's sitting next to him.
I don't know. So I'm going to get really punched bitter, in the face.
He gets slapped.
I'm going to get a limp punch in the face. Stop tickling me. I can't read while you tickle me, sir.
Slap fight.
So there was a couple of messages between the three of us where we were just kind of spitballing of how we wanted to go forward with the podcast.
Ryan was actually spitballing during it.
Literally snowballing.
It was good times.
And, you know, some of these ideas came up. So what Matt fleshed out, I got to give him credit, as we will do mock dating website profiles. Everybody's seen them, you know. So-and-so seeking this, something along those lines. So we all did one in the same vein as each other. I, myself, Kyle, wrote mine in the vein of Matt, and I'm going to go out on a limb and say I had the most difficult job, and I say that simply because it's a touchy subject with Matt being a war veteran.
No, it's not.
It's weird. I did.
There's so much
you had no problem calling him racist.
But it's weird making sarcastic comments about being a war veteran. It's hard to do. It got a little bit weird. Like, I texted Matt once or twice last night, like, hey, this is cool to make fun of, right?
Don't hold back.
I didn't, but I can tell you right now, there's a good chance I'm going to turn around and face the wall when I read mine.
No.
It's morbidly uncomfortable face-to-face, but no, I think mine turned out well. I was having a little bit of writer's block, but I do think I had a more difficult job simply because Matt being the war veteran and things that I don't know if people are going to latch onto me making fun of him as much as the other people. You know, Ryan and I both have our stereotypes. I'm an over talking, weird looking loser, whatever. And Ryan's gay.
Yeah, very gay. I love it.
We all have things to overcome.
You ever gone to one of those retreats, you know, that they hold, you know, those churches, they turn you not gay? It's a weekend.
We're going to ungay you, boy.
And
fix the queer right out of you, son.
I decided this order randomly, and the only reason I did is because, Ryan, you told me on the elevator ride up here that yours was the shortest.
Yeah.
In the vein of Ryan did his, in the vein of me. I did mine as Matt, and Matt did his as Ryan, so obviously we're all covered. Ryan said his was short because he legitimately followed a dating website profile, which, you know, they're usually only a paragraph long or sentences.
Well, he wanted to be able to read it on his phone, so he kept it to four sentences.
Matt and I printed ours like, you know,
Captain Technology,
like
says
Uncle
no
Sam
paper.
Loving Americans. And Ryan comes in here with his tech talk phone and his document where he's going to read it off of.
Did you pre-record it on there and you're just going to hit play?
Yes.
Is that how this is going
to
go?
Do I need to plug this in somehow or how is this going to work?
Yeah, it's going to sound all sweet and robotic-y. He'll be, hi, my name is Kyle.
Guaranteed he was late.
Stephen Hawking text machine.
Guaranteed he was late because he was in the parking lot typing that this morning, weren't you?
No, I typed it last night. Your wife helped me.
Yeah, you told me, you mentioned that too. Were you having a little bit of writer's block as well?
Yeah, I couldn't figure out how to phrase some of the things. I was trying to think of how you would say it.
Oh, okay.
So,
and that's the thing I ran into. It wasn't so much as writer's block. I ended up having a list of talking points, essentially insults, and then deciding how I was going to weave them into my profile. Now, mine is going to be the longest, as it usually is, because I'm a rambler and I like to hear myself, and I'm egotistical. So mine
naturally
is probably going to be the longest. But I have Ryan. You'll read yours first as Kyle. I will read mine in Matt's voice
Excellent. Second.
And then Matt was more than giddy to draw Ryan as his letter.
I think he, quote, drew me because already knew he was going to be
me. There was no drawing. I just assigned.
Yeah. There wasn't a debate. It was Matt said, I think the mics might have even been on.
Yeah, I will
Dude's
be doing
on Ryan.
Ryan.
Yeah. Yeah, I knew this was happening. I know it's going to be brutal. Yeah.
And by the way, we are getting Facebook comments and some emails about, I don't even know who you guys are without using the Free Beer and Hot Wings show in nicknames. And I can tell you that I'm sure there will be some slip-ups where, you know, I call Rape Stash or whatever. But for the most part, I think we are trying to move past the intern nicknames where we are going to
make the leap in logic and say that Purple Heart Matt is probably the one that keeps getting called Matt.
Yeah. And you should still be able to distinguish Ryan and I's voice. And
if not, you know who Rape Stash was, you can tell who Ryan is by that voice.
You say that, and I read that email, and it was actually, it kind of hurt. Dude's like, I don't even remember your name. I just know you're Stash. I was like, oh, that really sucks.
Yeah, there's been a couple of those.
There's been a few of those. The other guy, I don't know who you are, but that was cool.
Yeah,
there's been a couple. Yeah, I really like the way Matt and Kyle work together, but I don't know about Ryan.
I don't know about that other kid.
Yeah. Oh, that really...
But we let the weirdo in.
Speaking of the email, go ahead and find that. AskTheInterns@gmail.com. And I actually, when I teased us recording on Facebook last night, I mentioned if any listeners feel ambitious, I highly doubt it, but if you feel the need to, if you wanted to write your own dating website profiles for one of us or all of us, email those in, and I can almost guarantee that we'll read those on air to make fun of ourselves.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Those are good times. Email anything else, suggestions, reviews. If you hate us, just tell us. We don't care. You're not the first.
I do.
You're not the first.
It makes
hurt
me sad.
Ryan's
general
feelings.
Critiquing is nice.
Do what you want to do. So find us there. Email us there at asktheinterns@gmail.com. The Facebook page is still up. I didn't even have this last recording posted to the Free Beer and Hot Wings podcast. I don't know if I'm gonna anymore. It's either I forget or I feel nervous about asking. So this may be the best way to get it. So if you do know somebody else who listens via the Free Beer and Hot Wings podcast, tell them to subscribe.
Spread the word.
Yeah, tell them to subscribe at asktheinterns.podomatic.com. iTunes. Search a little off topic. Everything gets uploaded directly to iTunes as well. You can tell it's got the awesome WordArt logo. Just click subscribe. It's directly in your feed. It's not difficult at all. So make sure to find us there. And as always, the on the Podomatic page, the donate via PayPal jar is available. If you feel so inclined to help us out to pay for the pro account, so all of the people who want to listen can listen every month, go ahead and do that, and we'd appreciate it. But for now, Ryan/RapeStashWetHands dating website profile as Kyle/Wiener2, and I will sit back, take this verbal bruising, and laugh along with everybody else. Take it away.
Okay. Hi, my name is Kyle. I'm here just looking to try to find the right kind of girl. Some things I like to do are watch football, lay around, and not have any forward momentum in life.
Oh, boy. Oh, no. Oh, jeez. That's a shot across the bow right away.
It's so true.
Yeah, it is. I'm not going anywhere in life.
People say I'm a really great communicator. I have no problem telling you exactly what I think about the extra weight you may have. Also, I'll be sure to point out any failings or simple mistakes that you make and continue to belittle you about them.
Mm-hmm.
Occasionally, I'll blame your terrible and no doubt ugly family for your inadequacies. Some of my best qualities include my pudgy body for you to rub against. My terrible haircut that shows a complete lack of care of personal appearance. Yep. And my silvery tongue that will win you over with snide comments and cutting sarcasm.
Yep, people love it.
If you're interested in me and all that I have to offer, feel free to email or call me. Fat chicks need not apply.
Oh, I love it because I'm so superficial. I love it. All very spot on. All very, very spot on. Thank you very much.
That was good.
I'm glad it was short because I was going to start crying.
Yeah. I need 30 minutes more, please.
Yeah. And like I said, I'll be up next here, and I already feel bad about some of the things I wrote.
Let me have it.
I'm going to stare at you into your eyes.
No, that's fine. I'm not insulting you. I do that on a regular basis.
It's true. Very true.
I'm insulting Matt now, who I wouldn't normally dare to because public would...
Go stand next to him.
Please don't. Please don't do that. But mine is a bit long.
Oh, hey, you don't look like you had much of a problem to me.
People say, you know, in my world, trouble writing. I was a journalism major for too long. So when I write, it just
what happened?
It just goes. Turns out newspapers are failing. There's nobody's reading them anymore. This is a bit long, but I hope it gets the point across.
I'm sure it will.
Here is myself as Purple Heart Matt on Match.com. Lonely, emotionally unstable war hero seeks physical and mental caretaker. Is the headline.
It's so accurate.
Yeah. Hey there, ladies. My name is Matt, and if you can look past the overarching physical shortcomings and remember the good times I had before I became a wreck that you were never a part of, I think you can uncover a real treasure of a guy in me. As a fair warning, you'll need to accept possible outbursts and random moments of weeping and mood swings equivalent with a menopausal woman. There's an incredible likelihood that I will be crying on your shoulder while describing some traumatic events I endured. You may interpret this as a moment of bonding and emotional closeness. You would be wrong. As a side note, be prepared for me to turn on you and somehow irrationally blame you for my seemingly endless and internal emotional conflict and difficulties. Don't worry, there will be plenty of brief 30 to 45 minute periods where I will be stable in my usual unpleasant self. Those moments we can cherish together, and the other moments I can depend on you to keep me comfortable and disregard most of my verbal lashings towards you. Another few warnings that I feel should be aired out before our first meeting involve my appearance and tendencies.
Oh, boy.
1996 was a great year for me. I loved it so much that I have not changed my hairstyle since then. I go in, tell my barber to comb my mane down and cut those bangs at a straight line. I have done this since then and have zero intention of changing it. Get used to that dash of always classic handsome potential suitors. If you're lucky, I may just highlight my tips blonde. Also of note is that I am a war veteran slash hero. I don't like to use that word, but so many other people do. I might as well accept it, right? I mean, I don't want to go on and on about my accolades as a soldier serving your and everyone's freedoms because that may come off as pompous and arrogant. On that observation, I feel it is the best time to mention how I used to look when I was answering Uncle Sam's eternal bell for sacrifice and service. I was trim, cut, and the classic man in uniform. It is on that reference that I now blame my physical stature on my constant fluid emotional state today. My body wants to exercise and work out and stay in shape, but my mind won't allow it. The mental imagery and pains that go along with it are too damaging to this soldier's psyche to continue. This will be blamed on you at some point as well. Apologies in advance. In shorter terms, I am overweight with a stupid mustache. A perk to courting with an honorable war hero slash veteran discharged medically with a full benefit package will be the privilege to ride along in my overpriced sports car that I did not purchase to fill the gaping emotional hole in my heart. Side note, thank you, U.S. taxpayers. It is a perfectly legitimate car for a young buck like myself who isn't fearful of approaching the 30-year-old mark right around the corner. It was simply the most logical vehicle. So, ladies, if any of this sounds like something you would like to invest slash sacrifice your time, emotional health, and physical standards you may have set in a mate, I am just the guy you are looking for. Let me take you out on a date where I can detour from our dinner date to be a busybody and stop a social menace who may be flashing his headlights at me in an uncomfortable manner. Because I'm a veteran, damn it, and my license plate says so. So nobody gets away with being a driving hazard other than me. Can't wait to hear from you all. Signed, Purple Heart Matt. P.S. I have a child.
I love that.
Accurate.
I didn't know how to swing in the fact that you have a kid in a humorous manner, so I thought the direct blunt shot post facto would be the best way to go.
That was good.
I'm sorry, Matt.
No, that was wonderful. Don't.
Oh, good times. Finally, last, probably not least, this is the one. This is what Matt has been waiting for 2 weeks now.
Operation Shock and Awe.
This is this is Matt's Purple Heart Matt. As Ryan/Rape-Wet-Hands dating profile on eHarmony.com. Take it away.
All right. Hello, boys. Damn it. I mean girls. My name is Ryan, and I am looking for a sexy thing to spend some good time with. Some of my likes are technology and obscure music and TV references. In addition to the facial hair of a rapist, I also have the wit and charm of a rapist. Yeah. In just a few moments with me, I will coax you into a disease-riddled van and on to the night of your dreams. Yes, my voice may be deceiving and lead you to hook me up with your overly queer cousin that can't keep anything out of his butt.
Everybody's got those cousins, right?
However, you must resist the urge, as I assure you, I am straight. And to prove it, I will voluntarily kiss as many boys as it takes to prove to you how unnatural it is and that I really dislike kissing boys. Also, to add to my many of traits, I am a proficient and often user of emoticons. Nothing...
Very true.
Nothing is more masculine than punctuation making a face with its tongue sticking out in a playful fashion. I know it gets you women horny when you see my colon as much as it does men, winky face. Now on to you. To give this relationship some balance, you should be well-versed in sports as I am not. Could change my tire as I can't, and be able to defend me as I won't. Religion is not an issue. I hate Jesus.
Ooh.
Finally, ladies, ooh, if you choose me, you will be treated to my always condescending tone. Even when I am being sincere, I sound like an a-hole. It's really cool.
Very true.
For example, you may say, I love you, and I would respond, psh, I love you too. So boys, damn it, I mean girls. Pick me, Ryan, and all your robo, techno, geeko, and homo dreams will come true. If you decide I'm not the one, then please pass my page on to your uber queer cuz that can't keep stuff out of his butt. Right. We have more in common anyways.
Fantastic. Oh, good times.
Great.
Oh, touche. Those were as fun as I anticipated them to be. I'm glad we did those. Oh, good times.
I saw all of the gay comments coming.
Why? Those were all, I don't know. I saw those coming.
Like, it's like I'm psychic or something.
Yeah. The hatred of Jesus was a really good one.
Didn't see that coming.
I totally forgot about the overuse of emoticons.
Yeah.
Because I've called Ryan out on that on Facebook numerous times.
I've cut back.
You have cut back. But it's usually just to a listener, we'll say, hey, guys, when are you recording next? Sunday. Wink.
Yeah.
Like, Ryan, enough. Like, it's just not needed.
You and my 8-year-old female cousin do that.
They just start texting. Yeah. They just come up with new faces.
Yeah.
It happens. Oh.
That was fun.
Oh, well, we got plenty of time, so I think we will get to discussion of our failed dreams today. I don't know how this came up in conversation, but I do know Matt started it. So, and yeah. I know I have a few. So
I was looking back on life and said, wow, mm-hmm. there's a lot that I wanted to do that I'll never do. I mm-hmm. suck.
Yeah.
And then I cried and then I laughed.
Because that's what you have to do.
I'm emotionally unstable.
As a, apologies again. As a being the creator of this, do you have, I have a few that I will get to, but do you have one that you would like to get off your chest? Is that why you brought it up?
No,
there's
nothing
bothering you, Matt?
I mean, the only one that's like a true thing that really bothers me, that if I could go back and redo some stuff that I would want to do, is be a doctor.
Oh, okay.
I had always saw myself doing that, and now I'm old and don't have time.
Well, at this point, I mean, you look at it, we're all in our mid-20s, and I know I made a jab at you closing on 30 because I legitimately forgot your age. I
think it's getting there. I'll be 26 next week.
You're a year older than me, and I make a jab about how you're closing in on 30. That makes sense.
Too older than me.
Yeah. So. But, yeah, I mean, I think everybody has that kind of lost thing when you're a child. Like, so you were a kid, you wanted to be a doctor?
Well, yeah, this was
this
as
just
much
an excuse
as
to go touch your neighbors?
Yeah. I'm practicing. Sit still, Tommy.
I got my lab coat on. Where did the stethoscope go? Oops, not there.
Let's discover why boys and girls are different.
No, I mean, even as recently as when I was getting out of the Army and trying to figure out what I was going to do, I was you know, med school is a real something I want to do. Maybe be a physician assistant, something. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, that's a lot of money and a long time. And
time,
I'd have to pay
killer
attention to stuff.
You got to read books. So they don't make any bones.
I'll go to a third-rate radio school instead. That sounds good.
I may have the weirdest childish ambition. I remember when in second grade or first grade, you know, they do this random like student of the month thing. And essentially, every student gets picked or whatever, where, you know, they ask you stupid little questions. What do you want to do as you grow older? And I still have the piece of paper.
Oh, wow.
In first grade where I said I wanted to be a mailman.
Once again, no forward momentum in life.
Already in first grade, I'm looking easy street.
Oh,
I'm like,
my
are you
God
kidding me? What do those guys do?
Government
they drive
pension
around and put things in boxes.
I'm going to get drunk and pass out postcards.
Yeah,
it'll be sweet.
No kidding. So that was my first grade ambition. And even, you know, what a gig. It's a government holiday. Now, obviously, now they're shutting down half of the post offices and everything.
Jesus.
But, yeah, that was a childhood dream. And that I didn't even have that written down. I just remembered it as me wanting to be a mailman as a child.
Good
Who
God
has that dream?
Nobody.
Who's looking in life going, that's a career right
the mailman
there
looks back at the dreams that he failed on.
Yeah. Most
He's like,
are,
damn it, what happened?
Yeah, and then someone goes, what happened with you? What are you talking about? I'm living the dream, man. Most kids in first grade want to be athletes, doctors,
astronauts, firemen.
Yeah, you know, things that are doing good for the world. And I wanted to be a mailman and coast on EC Street. Good for me.
I will be delivering the nation's packages in style and class.
You were already lazy at 6 years old.
Was I? Right? I'm already, like I said, I'm already looking down EC Street.
I want to be a mailman, but not one of those losers that has to walk. I need a route with a truck.
Oh, I'm not carrying a bag, and I'm not using my own car. I'm going to work my way up, and I want a company car for it. But the biggest one that I had when I was a kid was, and this is more stereotypical, I wanted to be a football player. I idolized the Detroit Lions. Don't know why, because it doesn't make sense, but I wanted to be a football player so bad. And I think that the moment that dream came crashing down for me was when my brother and I were just horsing around in the basement. We had bean bags because, you know, it's the 90s. Everybody had bean bags.
Right.
And there was a table down there, and we were like, yeah, we're cool. We'll jump off the table into the bean bags. So I was like, all right, I'll do that too. Little did I know, my brother was an a-hole. He pulled the beanbag after I jumped off
nice
the table, broke my foot.
Oh,
in a cast for like 6 weeks. You know, I was only like six at that time or eight at that, whatever, you're young. But I still think that was the time that my football dream came to an abrupt halt.
I'm sure that's what it was.
That was it. That's when I gave up.
If you didn't break your foot, we'd be watching you later
Absolutely
today.
Absolutely. 5'11", 180.
Yeah.
I'd be playing on Sundays. So there's almost no question.
I have a similar sports one. Mine was I was actually a pretty decent athlete in high school. You couldn't tell now, as Kyle mentioned, I look nothing like anybody who can move in any type of fashion.
You're as wide as you are tall.
Yep. And I played football, wrestled, and played baseball. But in middle school,
checking
you
oil
could. Yep.
This is one of the gayest sports ever.
Well,
in middle school, there was enough time in between wrestling season and baseball season to play basketball. I, however, was terrible at basketball. and got cut from the 7th and 8th grade basketball teams. Ooh. Where there were so many kids that one kid had the same number as another one
they
on two different
cut
occasions.
In junior high and middle school? Yeah. No wow. kidding.
It was terrible. My fat little ass running around trying to play basketball.
I thought school districts couldn't allow that because at this point, like they don't want to hurt kids. It's all touchy-feely school now where they don't want to hurt kids' feelings.
No.
But they actually cut you, huh, in yeah. 7th grade.
The coach was like, no, you're just not good at basketball.
What a heartbreaker.
So I tried again in 8th grade, and he was like, nope, you still suck. Get out of here.
Oh, no. What an a-hole. What an a-hole.
It was great.
That's probably made you a better person.
Ryan, what about your failed sports dreams?
Pretty much all of them didn't play sports.
I want to know what a baseball is.
Do I stick that up my butt?
What was yours? I'm interested to hear yours because, you know, I mentioned sports. Matt mentioned sports. Now, most kids, in one way or another, are involved with sports, you know, whether they play Little League, anything like that.
Can I take a guess?
Sure.
Build the first accurate anatomical human robot.
With artificial intelligence.
Right? Yes, I needed a girlfriend. And
I'm still working on it, guys. Leave me alone.
Yeah.
It's not failed yet.
Don't wrath me, okay? I'm busy.
No, kind of along the lines of Matt's. Not necessarily a doctor, but just getting a degree in something. Getting a degree, being learned.
Really?
Being educated. I kind of dropped out of college.
But that, I mean, that was your childhood goal?
Well, it wasn't necessarily childhood, but yeah, I was interested in a lot of different fields, like sociology, mm-hmm. psychology, that kind of stuff.
Learning as a kid.
Yeah. I had a list of degrees I wanted to get.
It's pretty normal.
Why don't you just frame your master's of butt?
I don't know how you are not a serial killer right now. He might be it. I don't know why I'm just saying that.
I'm
he
not
might
a psychopath.
Be. You have some tendencies.
Everyone's crazy.
I just remembered this. It goes along with me and my goal for Easy Street, essentially since I was a child. I decided in high school, when I was about a junior, that I had to decide what I wanted to do for the rest of my life. So
no
I
pressure.
Was like, hey, I like sports. And I don't physically like the process of writing, but I like having written. You know what I mean? Like, I like seeing it on paper when I'm done. I like being done writing. I like being able to see that.
Right.
So I was like, you know what? Let's mash them together. I'm going to be a sports writer. That's it. That's the gig for me. My sports dreams are past.
And now you have a column that occurs every Sunday, right?
I don't want to work very much. I love sports. How easy would it be? I'll watch a sports team twice a week, write articles about them the rest of the week. Come on. That's the dream.
See, you think you thought of this, but yes. Really you were just watching Everybody Loves Raymond.
You know, I did watch that, but I mean, that's simply how it came to me when I was in high school was mash them together. That's what I got. Sports writer. Boom. So I joined the high school newspaper where I wrote there for 2 years, wrote anything.
You terrible know? Things.
Terrible crap. I still have the papers, and I'm afraid to open them and look at them.
Oh, we need to see those.
I could bring them in for you.
Yeah, better.
And so I decided to do that. Coasted my way through Easy Street on that, got to college, joined the paper there. And, man, did I realize the failing dream that being a sports writer was going to be.
Yeah.
Entered college as a journalism major, took journalism classes for 3 years where I was writing and I thought doing pretty well in these classes. But apparently in college, they don't have an emphasis for sports writing. They just don't care. So it took 3 years of professors beating into my skull how nobody's reading newspapers, this and that, and having to write local budget articles every week for class that I finally decided, you know, maybe this isn't for me. You know, I'm probably middle of the pack on effort and ability anyway in terms of journalistic talent and integrity. So maybe
you're
it's time to...
Mitch Albom, you're yeah. saying?
And so a radio career is born.
No. You skip a step.
Oh.
I think this handsome devil is going to jump onto the television screen near you.
Fine. I'll just go work for ESPN, dick.
Exactly.
Sports yeah. Center needs
I
me.
I don't need to write articles. I'll see you in Bristol. That's Connecticut. It's where ESPN's headquartered. To Ryan.
What's ESPN?
So
fellas?
I decide maybe TV's the way to go for this guy. So I focus, you know, I switch my major to broadcasting with an emphasis on television. And I begin taking all these courses, and it doesn't take me long to realize I'm incredibly comfortable in front of the camera. No problem. you know, I felt good, you know, sitting at a desk reading the news teleprompter. I don't know how people are going to nervous. Talk about a cakewalk, man. Seriously.
Yeah.
I'm calling anybody whoever wants to be a television personality.
You're lazier than me.
It's such an easy gig. You read it. There's zero reason to be nervous. There's a teleprompter. It's a screen that tells you what to do.
Yeah.
It's so easy. I mean, timing's one thing, this and that, and chit-chat, but whatever. I loved it. I'm good with conversation. I'm good with small talk. I can ad-lib, go on the fly, whatever. So I enjoyed it. But man, did it not take me long to realize the difficulties of getting on air on television, which, man, I have no intention. I don't want to be a television producer.
Did one of your instructors sit you down and say, "Now, Kyle, you are pretty good, but as you look around the room, these fellas are handsome.
Yep.
And you're a mongrel."
It didn't take me long to realize that, you know, I could throw on a suit. It's not doing much for me.
You don't have what we call a TV face in the biz.
Yeah, and that's honestly what I realized. Like, I was like, man, I don't have the look. I really don't, and I knew that from the get-go. I was
24
like,
and balding is in, dude. Yeah, what are you talking
it's
about?
It's time to give up on the television sports reporter dream. So I did. And a career in radio has been born.
See how that's going.
Little did I know, it's substantial more work than being a television newscaster. But yeah, I turned my focus to radio, and man, is that thing just taken off.
Luckily for us, you can be as fat and ugly as you want and
yeah,
do good here.
Seriously. As long as the voice sounds terrible, yep. Mine does. Still, don't even have a voice for radio. Really, a terrible voice for radio,
if you
ask me.
You're preaching to the choir.
And my look fits radio, being atrocious.
Right.
Talent, effort, mediocre. So I'm above a lot of people in radio already. But no, that is how my dream in radio was born, and that is how my successes, which, I mean, I might write a book about my successes. But, you know, I'm at almost a year and a half of being a part-time board op here at this company. Right?
Part-time board op.
Just email your jealousies. Because this guy's taking off.
Well, you are stepping up. You're going up to the big guys show.
Yeah, a little bit. It makes me nervous.
I think you're running what, 23 stations.
It was nerve wracking. Yeah, for if you don't know what Ryan's talking about, they've been the Freebird Owlings have been doing a lot of live shows at a lot of their markets. Normally, Steve is back here at the home base running the board, which I have a experience running the board, as I said, was more than a year plus. But
ooh.
Not in this
Slow down,
regard,
big time.
But not in this regard. And so Steve is going to be on vacation come October 28th, that whole week, and they will be doing a live show that week. So it's a little bit of a conundrum for them. They'll be doing a live show from Grand Rapids, and they needed somebody to run the board for that, and apparently I was asked to do it, and I came in and trained 2 days, and I'm as nervous as could ever be.
I've never wanted dead air more in my life.
Oh, dude, you have no idea the nerves.
Yeah, part-time board op. It's different when you bring down a local station. Well, when you bring down many stations around the country.
Simple. The regular board opping is absolutely simple, but this is crazy.
Yeah.
I'm working with 3 computers, a full board, I mean, using more things than I ever have. Well, the first day I trained, that I was in here training with Steve, when they were in Ohio. It was the first day I was in. He had me do a couple breaks, and all I remember was the fastest I've ever felt my heart racing and the overwhelming tunnel vision I started to get. I don't remember.
You almost passed out?
Absolutely. I don't remember a thing I said that first break. I don't remember. I know I was staring at the clock. I had to hit the clock. You know, I had to hit timing perfectly. It didn't help that Steve, about 1 minute before, went over, because we can communicate with them when they're in Ohio, mm-hmm. and said, "You guys ready for 24 seconds of local gold?" And they knew it, and man, it was like flies on dog crap, because, "Oh, it's going to be great. You suck. You're going to fail. Nice time. Everybody gets their first chance this far in." Oh, man, I was just, and I'm just sitting there with my arms folded. I hate this. I'm going to leave. I'm going to die. I don't want to be here. And like it happened, and I did it. I mean, there's no real choice in the matter at that point. But and I don't think it was a total failure. But then I came in on Friday to train when they were in New Hampshire, and it was more than training. I did the entire show.
You did good.
I did the entire show with Steve in the room, which was a bit of a comfort. You know, if I if I miss something or if I press a wrong button, he's there, so I can just run and cower under a desk and he can press the correct buttons in a timely manner. I mean, a few mix-ups, but I got a hang of it and I got actually pretty comfortable. So in a few weeks, listen for Hours of Dead Air.
Yeah, it's going to be glorious.
On October 28th, I will be running the 5 a.m. best of hour by myself.
Ooh.
And then 6 a.m. to 10, I will be doing local content here as well as pressing all the buttons to make sure they go on air.
Now, what would be nice is if something happened at the event and they said, all right, we're going to best of for the rest of the show, and you have to scramble to get best of going.
Just pull out three intern views, and you'll be kosher.
I'd pull the random – I'd just be grabbing bits and chucking them, introing them. So this is best of Zane has a family issue. Oh, this was a good one.
It'll be like when Steve pre-records it, you can tell, because he says it, and he comes out, he's like, so yeah, that was – Zane has a bad family moment. Yeah. Not laughing. Doesn't make mention of anything in it.
Yeah.
It's great.
I love it. So I guess if you want to call training and filling in as running the board for zero pay, a move up in the radio world.
Watch out, Howard Stern.
I have no idea. I haven't asked. I don't care.
I was going to say, because
it's a fantastic opportunity. I'm taking a couple days off of work, and I was more than willing to learn it. Obviously, nerves were high and are high. So
yeah, I did notice on one of the local breaks of the most recent one, I think it was when they did that interview the day before and then you replayed
In the morning.
That one jumped on you, like the ending. Yeah. It came up so abruptly that it sounded like it caught you off guard a little bit. You recovered.
And that's the thing, the way those best of bits are edited, there's when they play the flashback in the morning, they have the harp and everything, and that kind of segues it back so you know it's real time. No, these best of bits... they end.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's 0 seconds left. There's no fade out. It's at the end of a word. Boom. It's over with. And, you know, you got to make it sound as fluid as possible. And it's obviously pretty difficult.
So this is a little, well, not a little. It's completely off topic. Can you put your hands straight up in the air, please?
Oh, no. This is not just me sweating.
Sweet. No. Jesus.
This is every one of my white t-shirts.
Oh, wow.
I wear white t-shirts. This is from
work.
I'm
going to buy you deodorant, buddy.
No, these are stains from work. These are my work undershirts.
Good God.
And I just wear them.
White bright, dude.
Yeah. I bleach them every now and again.
Cauterize your pores. Do something.
Caulk my arms.
Yeah.
No, good God. No, that's every one of my white t-shirts is that way.
You look like you just jumped straight out of the 1950s.
It's from work. I'm telling you, I wear this, and then I have my work shirt is a collared, button-down green shirt that I wear, and I'm doing manual labor for 8 hours a day, so I sweat.
Hold on, that pretty face.
So I sweat every day.
Wow.
And I sweat. Turns out not living off the...
why don't you tell us the story of how you stubbed your toe at work?
You want to do that too?
No.
Turns out not all of us are living off of veterans benefits. Some of us do that manual labor gig. But no, I think that's all we got, unless anybody else wants to joke about their failed dreams.
I wanted to learn how to play guitar and gave up. After 10 minutes,
I thought about that last week, and then I was like, man, I'd have to buy a guitar.
I had one given to me.
Oh, well, that's
my dad. Somebody was like, here, have a guitar. Learn how to play.
My dad has one. He used to play it. Doesn't play it now. I could easily learn to play it. Just haven't done it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, thanks. Seems like too much work. Plus, I feel like I'd have to become a hippie.
The piano would be easier. So
I feel like I'd have to go sit on the side of the street and collect some change.
Right,
if I learned that. I'd learn a guitar if it was for a purpose. But for giggles, no thanks. I have enough hobbies. Don't need it.
Chicks love guitars, though.
Chicks do. Maybe I should just walk around with one strapped on the back.
No, because then you have to play. You just be sitting there strumming. I know this chord.
Yeah. Gling, gling. Just go up and down. That's all I do. So that's fantastic. That's all we got for this week. I have nothing to tease for the next time.
Maybe we'll play pass or play.
Yeah, we'll probably pass or play next time.
We're going to try to get it in today, but we just didn't get to it.
Ran out of time. On the bright side, all that prep work we did for it is now still available for next time.
Right. Maybe it'll be ready to go next week.
Yeah.
We could bring back Tech Talk. Yeah?
Yeah, we could bring back Tech Talk with Ryan. iPhone 4S.
It's true.
It's out. Break it down. No. You're Mr. Android operating system. You can break down the everything that's wrong with the iPhone.
Why would I do that?
Because you hate it.
No, I don't.
You're glad Steve Jobs is dead.
Oh, no.
You heartless bastard.
I'm next in line.
Oh, God. That's all we got for this week. Email us, asktheinterns@gmail.com.
Thank God for pancreatic cancer.
Oh, God.
Jesus. Facebook.com/A Little Off Topic. AskTheInterns.podomatic.com. iTunes. Find us at A Little Off Topic. Just find us. Seriously. If you're listening, find us on a social networking site of some sorts, and we can communicate. We do respond to most emails unless we don't like you.
And even if we don't, we read them. I mean,
we do read them.
I enjoy reading the comments.
I love getting email. Good or bad, I don't care. Insult away. It doesn't bother me.
Facebook posts make me laugh.
Yeah, absolutely. Go ahead. Find us everywhere you can.
Oopsie and Frank Show.
Yeah, thanks, Oopsie and Frank Show. On that note, thanks for listening. We'll be back in a couple weeks with who the hell knows what.
Fun stuff.
Yeah. For Ryan and Matt, I'm Kyle. Thanks for tuning in.